welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in again to the broadcast this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse number 37. Our Lord Jesus has just talked about the sign of Jonas the prophet, and that no sign but the sign of Jonas the prophet will be given to that generation that was there in the day of his ministry. And of course, that's the case with many even unto our day, is that's a sign that is given. Of course, this was significant to the Jews, to the Israelites, in that they rejected Jonah, I believe, as a prophet, and the account of Jonah being in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights was a testimony of what Jesus would do when he was dead, that he would lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights and then raise from the dead. He talks about judgment and how in the judgment there will be those that will rise up in judgment against the generation of that day, the generation in his day. He said, the queen of the south will do so, and she'll testify of the great things that she saw with Solomon, but that Jesus was greater than he, and that'll be evidence. The men of Nineveh will rise in judgment against the generation at hand, and how it was that the preaching of Jonah, a very simple message, a message of repentance of sins, and one greater than Jonah is at hand. And so the Lord tells here about light, and no man lighting a candle hides it, but causes it to shine. And then he says, beware of the light that we take in. We take in the light, then we're single, we're focused upon the Lord because he is the light. But if the light that we take in is evil, then we are filled indeed with darkness. And of course, that is our natural state. And he says, take heed therefore, verse 35, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Well, there is only going to be full light and wonderful light and blessed light and bright white light of righteousness only by Jesus Christ. So we come to verse 37, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So this Pharisee says, why don't you go home with me and let's have supper. Of course, the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, scribes are always looking for some way to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ, to catch him in his words, to have some reason to accuse him. And so when Jesus arrived, he didn't wash up. And that was a custom of the Jews, not only good sanitary practice, but it was a custom. If one did not wash, then they were looked upon by the religious elite as being defiling, that there was something more than just not being clean. It was not that they were just not clean. They took this all the way to a moral and a spiritual a stance and an outlook towards people. And so Jesus did not wash before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. And so the Lord, knowing what the Pharisee, what the fella is thinking, he deals with this and he says, oh, you guys are expert in cleaning up the outside. But the thing is you give no consideration to the inside. You believe just because you wash your hands, you wash all your dishes regularly, that because of that, everything is great. You look good. Everything is stellar on the outside, but within, what's going on there? He said, the Lord made the outside and the inside, and both must be dealt with. He says, give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Now, this is giving alms is for that, for the support of the needy, those that don't have anything or have little and need help and assistance. It's interesting that the Lord would say this, and I don't think that this is the all-inclusive point that he's looking to make, but he does make this point. He says, give of what you have, and there is indeed a righteousness and worship of God and blessing found in that. And behold, all things are clean unto you. Verse 42, but woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. So then the Lord, he takes exception to them in the way that they tithe. They tithe even to the nth degree, even of their herb garden, they tithe that. But the Lord says, you leave off, you pass over judgment and the love of God. The weightier matters of the law, the Lord Jesus says, or is accounted that the Lord Jesus said in other accounts in the Gospels. And so he says, you're doing these little things, and you think that gives you standing, but the thing is you're leaving off the more important, the spiritual, the worship before God in spirit and in love and in truth. You leave off that. You've got all the mechanics of this physical stuff down, but what about in your heart? He says, remember, he said earlier about the light. He said, consider that the light that is in thee be not darkness. They do and pursue these things, thinking that they make themselves acceptable before God. And understand, there is a acceptance. There is a blessing and a receiving of God to the obedient, to obedient children who have been saved, who have repented and trusted in Christ and been saved by Him. Not in order to have standing before God that are these things done, but out of an obedient heart and desire to walk with and please the Lord. See, think about this. The one who is not saved, the one that does not have the Spirit of God living within, does this thing with a motive for payment. Does this physical obedience with a motive to create acceptation by God, to build up righteousness, that is, they believe accepted by God. But see, the one that is full of light, the one that is saved, the one that has the Spirit of God living within, does so out of obedience. Does so out of a free and a desirous heart of the Lord. There is love there, but there is by rote and letter there in the other case, that case of darkness. He says, you tithe all these things, but you pass over judgment, making a call and making a decision based on what God has said. Being merciful in judgment. The Lord loves mercy. And he says, you pass over the love of God. The love of God for us, our love that we should have towards God also. And that's the thing, is no one can love God unless the love of God has been shed abroad in their hearts by virtue of salvation of the soul. He said, woe unto you Pharisees, verse 43, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. So he makes a couple other allegory, if you will. He says, you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues. Why? Because they're proud. They think that they have arrived it's incumbent upon them to take station and for them to sit high, and then they can be seen and praised of men. There's no humility. There's no proper self-abasement not making an assumption that they are the greatest in the crowd, but just making the assumption that they're glad to be there and that they're the least. And as the Lord Jesus Christ has said in other places, he said, sit down in the lowest seats, and when the governor of the banquet or the feast says, oh, friend, go up higher, then you'll have praise. Not demanding and requiring a thing for yourself because of the station that you believe you occupy. Humility. The Lord loves to see humility of men, women, boys, and girls before him. He says here, you love greetings in the markets where they call rabbi, rabbi. They enjoy that. They're looking to stand out. So they would be called such, rather than just being a minister of the truth and a leader and judge amongst the people that would be a benefit in pointing them to the Lord. He says, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you're just like graves that you can't see, and people walk over them, and what do? They fall into them. They are there a snare unto men, a snare unto mankind, looking to take and consume those that are around. That the Lord does that. He, in other passages in the scriptures, he makes it clear that they just look to use up people, to be people controllers. The name for that in the scriptures is Nicolaitans. People manipulators and people users. The Lord hates it. He declares indeed that he hates Nicolaitism. Nico, a Greek prefix that means to conquer. And laitans, or laity, is a Greek word meaning the people. People conquerors. We are not to be people conquerors. We're to be ministers of the truth of God's word unto sinners, and to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. So the Lord has dealt with the scribes and Pharisees, calling them hypocrites, and one of the lawyers chimes in and says, you're saying the same thing to us. You're getting us too. And indeed, the Lord Jesus is. If you're listening to my voice and the message of this broadcast, hear the word of the Lord, repent of your sins, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Him, his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. I see their time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.